Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning, just after 9 o'clock on a gorgeous Saturday morning. And we are here with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon. And Warren from Stanwood on the line had some questions. We're talking testosterone.
Yes.
All right. And his question was about transfer.
Yeah.
Oops. Yep. Transferring the...
Okay. Transference from the man to the woman. Yeah. Okay. First of all, it depends on where you're putting the testosterone.
Okay. And this is the cream.
Yeah. I use a transdermal creams. And, you know, if you're putting it on your genitals and your armpits, you don't have a whole lot of transference. Mm-hmm. Because very few people are going to have contact to your genitalia or your armpits during the course of the average day. Except, and there's always an exception.
Okay? Don't go there.
I am one of those rare men who actually gets phone calls from his wife saying, "I need you at lunch today."
Uh-oh.
So
he went
so
there.
So I get to go home for a little midday dalliance at least once a week, which
kicking
is really kind
and
of nice.
Screaming.
Take the bait.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you very much, Bandine. It's no wonder I love you so desperately. So anyway, but for the vast majority of the human race, this is not an issue.
Okay.
But transference is a problem if you're putting it on your arms, your biceps, the crook of your arms, by your elbows, your wrists, those places you're liable to get transference. If you're using very high doses, that could be an issue. But here's the reason I don't worry about it as much as I used to. We now know that young women have 2 to 3 times more testosterone in their bloodstream than they have estrogen. Testosterone is the primary sex hormone for men and women. It's not estrogen for women and testosterone for men. It's testosterone for men and women. Okay? A 20-year-old girl at her peak of sex hormones is going to have about 30 to 35 nanograms per deciliter of estrogen in her bloodstream. And she's going to have 75 to 80 nanograms per deciliter of testosterone in her bloodstream. Okay? So she is actually more testosterone ridden than her later life. In late life, when testosterone levels are down for women to 5 or 6 instead of 75 or 80, her risk of breast cancer is much higher. And what we now know is that giving menopausal age women testosterone lowers their risk of breast cancer dramatically. Okay? The average American woman is who's been on no hormones of any kind has about 300 cases of breast cancer per 100,000 women years of experience. So 300 cases per 100,000 years. A woman who is on estrogens lowers that risk about 30%. So she knocks that down by about 90 So she's now down to 210 cases per 100,000 women years. A woman who uses some testosterone cuts that down to 116 cases per 100,000 woman years. She's down to less, about a third of what she would have been with no hormones. And a woman who uses testosterone aggressively to move her levels back to her youthful range and holds it there for 10 years drops her risk to 50 cases per 100,000 women.
Wow.
300 down to 50 with using testosterone. So, you know, I used to be afraid of testosterone on women. But, you know, with these later studies that have come out in the last 5 or 6 years, it's obvious that restoring a woman's testosterone is even more important than restoring her estrogen when it comes to protecting her against breast cancer. And it tends to raise her libido. It makes her desire sex more often, which is a real problem because 70% of women have lost interest in passion by age 50, which is really kind of spooky because only 50% of men have ED.
So, wow.
You know, and drive, ambition, self-confidence, stress tolerance, anxiety decreases, depression decreases, cancers decrease. They get stronger. They don't get osteoporosis as much. They make better bone density. The net benefits of testosterone in women are enormous. And yet, the number of doctors that give women testosterone is tiny. And it just frustrates the hell out of me.
So if Warren gets a little bit of that rubbed on his wife, it's not a bad thing.
Precisely. And so, you know, I'm a whole lot less concerned about it. Now, you don't want her levels up to where we carry men. We want her levels up to that of a youthful woman. But so, you know, it involves measuring her levels. How much transfer is she getting? And where are her levels? But if her levels are running in the neighborhood of, you know, 50, 60, 70 nanograms per deciliter, I'm not overly concerned about it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. I guess one question would be how much and what seems to be the most efficient placement of it? Like,
well,
say you've been armpits, genitals.
I apply mine primarily to my genitalia because the skin is very thin and has a very rich blood supply. And as you might expect, the testicles and penis have a special affinity for testosterone, all right? And so you want to be, you know, robust and strong in that part of your body if you're the average man. And then what's left over on my hands, I rub into my axilla, my underarm, into my armpits, and then a tiny bit that's left over I put up on my shoulders and biceps simply because the very next thing I do after I put on my testosterone in the morning is I pull on my socks and underwear and I drop down on the floor and I knock out 60 or 65 push-ups. And I like having that extra testosterone on my arms and shoulder muscles because guess what? It increases stem cell production and enhances muscle production. So one of the reasons that I can do 65 push-ups at age 76 is because I carry my testosterone load in the mid-range of a healthy 18 to 20-year-old boy. Does that answer your question?
That's very good. You were going to talk about, in your previous break, stem cells, and I guess I'm a little confused. There are certain doctors that have advertisements, and one of the comments is that, and Dr. XYZ, he's doing it like very few, or he's doing it the right way.
Okay.
So is there a right way and a wrong way? Obviously.
There certainly is. There is. Like everything in life, there's a lot more ways to do it wrong than there are to do it right. Okay. You can screw things up. Yeah, you can screw up anything in a lot more ways than you can get it done right. Let's talk about stem cells.
Yes. In fact, James from Seattle had an off-air question. He was interested in stem cells. He wanted to know how much they cost, where do you put them, and about how long they last. So let's get some information on let's talk stem cells right now.
So James in Seattle.
And Warren,
And Warren. So both of you, and for all the rest of you who want to know about stem cells.
Right.
we have a lot of stem cells when we're born because stem cells are the cells that help us to grow new tissue. Babies grow really fast. You know, they replace their skin every day. One day, baby has a whole new set of skin. That's why you can get a kid with diaper rash and it's red and inflamed and irritated, and you put that little desiccant ointment on it and protect it from getting poop and pee for one day, and it's gone.
Ta-da!
And that's because he grew whole new skin over a day. By the time you're in your 30s, it takes almost 2 weeks to grow new skin. And by the time you're in your 60s and 70s, it may take a month to grow new skin. So our stemminess, the cells that allow us to grow new tissue, is declining with age. We're using up our stem cells, and stem cells are becoming senescent, that is senile, and they don't work as well as we get older. We have stem cells everywhere. We have them in our brain. We have them in our joints and our muscles, our ligaments, our tendons, our kidneys, our hearts. Every part of your body has stem cells because every tissue in your body is designed to live a certain period, and then it dies and gets replaced with new cells. So your skin turns over. Your gut, in a healthy young person in your 20s and 30s, you grew a whole new lining to your gut about every 36 hours, every day and a half. By the time you're old, it may take a week or more. And so we start getting GI problems more and more as we're getting old, and our gut is not absorbing nutrients because we have old, wearing out gut. Okay? Our hearts don't pump as efficiently as they used to do because that heart is basically muscle, and it is losing the capacity to regenerate and grow new cells. Our lungs don't work as well. Our bones are not growing as fast as they should. So the loss of stem cells with age and the decrease in the effectiveness of stem cells with age is a real problem. We do know that we can take stem cells out of one place and put them in other places without increasing the total number of stem cells in your body. I mean, let's say I have X number of stem cells in my body, and I had a left hip that I broke glacier skiing 21, 22 years ago. I did a really stupid thing. I was skiing like a bat out of hell down the glacier while looking behind me to see if anybody was catching me. And thou shalt not ski really fast down the mountain while looking up the mountain.
No, no.
And I fell and hit the ice.
Ouch.
And had a subcapital fracture. I broke that ball right off my hip.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Sounds painful.
It smarted considerably, yes.
Yeah.
And they helicoptered me off the glacier and down, and I had surgery at midnight on a Sunday night, putting pins in to hold that in place. But that particular fracture is a nasty fracture to get because when you break that ball off the femur, you interrupt the blood supply. And it is very common for a large portion of the ball to die and go away. We call it aseptic necrosis because you've damaged the blood supply. Well, we got mine back on fast enough that I only lost part of it. But I did have part of that joint die. And so it was irregular and was developing a significant amount of arthritis.
Right.
And it got to the point that I was really having pain when I ran or even when I climbed hills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to see Dr. Dan Nelson. Dan poked a hole in my pelvis.
Iliac crest.
Iliac crest and sucked out bone marrow and isolated the stem cells from my bone marrow because bone marrow is one of the places that keeps good stem cell activity much later in life.
Right.
And he took those stem cells along with PRP and injected it into my hip. And I got really, over the next 3 to 6 months, I got a lot of improvement. I was growing enough new cartilage that I had decreased pain. 6 or 8 months later, I had him go back and do it a second time because it was better, but not as good as I wanted it to be. I use my body heavily, and I demand that it function well. and so he did it a second time for me, and now I have no pain in that hip, and I can run, jump, leap, cavort, and have a great time. So taking the stem cells out of my iliac crest and putting them into my joint – helped. Okay. Now, I have other patients that are orthopedic surgeons that take stem cells out of adipose tissue. They take it out of their out of your fat.
Yeah.
And the reason they do that is fat is the only tissue in the human body that actually increases the number of stem cells with age.
Mm.
As we get older, we make fat easier and easier because we have more and more fat stem cells with age.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah. Well, we knew that we got fat easier as we got older.
Yeah. What?
You didn't realize that it was because you actually had better stem cells in your fat than anywhere else in your body.
Wait a minute. Would a commercial company want some of that?
Yeah. Yes. Here's the problem, okay? If I take my stem cells out of my body, and I grow them in the lab, and we can do that, by the way. We can amplify stem cells. I can take out 1 million stem cells, and in less than a week, I can have 100 million stem cells in the lab.
Wow.
Okay. But those are my stem cells. They're not your stem cells.
But I can't go in and ask for yours?
No.
I'd like to have some of Dr. Mixon's.
Well, he's not allowed to do that.
Not only are we not allowed to do it because it is now a new drug.
Right.
Those stem cells that have been manipulated in the laboratory are not my original stem cells. They are the daughter stem cells.
Right.
Why do we call those daughters, by the way? Why aren't those the son stem cells?
They're daughters.
Well, those are stem cells from a man. They should be
sons. But they're the ones multiplying, so maybe that's why.
We refer to those as daughter cells.
Okay.
So those stem cells are no longer my original ones. And so if I give them to anyone else, they are considered a new unapproved drug, okay? So the FDA will not let us do that. Now, to make it worse, if I take my stem cells out, or, you know, Warren, you're an elderly man, if I took your stem cells out and grew them in the lab for a week and put them back in your body, I could give you 100 times more stem cells in your body than you've got right now.
But it's not allowed.
Even though they're your stem cells. I take your stem cells out. I grow them in the lab. I give them right back to you. They're now a new unapproved drug, according to the FDA. And so I have to just use the stem cells you've got now. I can't give you more stem cells. That makes
my body, my stem cells.
Yeah, that's my point. Yes, let's all march on the Capitol. My body, my stem cells.
So, are they doing this in Europe where we don't have the FDA?
They're doing it. They're doing it in China. They're doing it in Japan. They're not doing it in Europe. Europe is more socialized than we are, so they're even more rigorous about it than we are. Now, Texas. Let's hear it for Texas.
Y'all.
Texas passed a law that I thought was kind of interesting. And they basically modeled it on the marijuana laws.
Oh, okay.
Because let me give you the kind of background for this. Back in the 1930s, they wanted to control the price of wheat because the wheat farmers were going broke. We had the Great Depression. And so there was a guy who was growing wheat in his own yard for his own family. And the government came and made him shut it down, said, you cannot grow wheat in your yard for your family because the wheat you grow is wheat that you're not buying in interstate trade. And so that can impact the cost of wheat in other states. And so they said, you can't do that. Well,
Watch me.
But That's never made a lot of sense, really.
No.
But, you know, but the marijuana people. Now, marijuana, there's a lot of people want pot. I don't. I think that it is a crazy thing to do because I wanted to digress too much, but the more marijuana you use and the younger you use it, the higher your risk of serious psychotic breaks. It damages the brain.
Also the heart.
Yes.
Cardiovascular.
Wow. Yes. So, you know, marijuana, not good. We used to think it was relatively innocuous compared to alcohol, but no, it is insidious and more dangerous than alcohol. But anyway, the marijuana people, though, said we can make a lot of money with marijuana. And the state governments, like Washington State and California, and, you know, now I don't know how many it is, 20-some states have said, well, hell, we can get a lot of tax money off marijuana.
Right.
So we want to grow it, even though it's against federal law. So what they've done is they've said, look, We grow the marijuana in our own state. We process it in our own state. We sell it to people in our own state. They use it in our own state. It never crosses state lines. Federal government, take a hike. We don't give a damn what you think. And because there's a lot of money for the state governments, the feds have said, well, we don't want to fight with these taxpayers. So the feds let the states get away with it.
Okay.
Even though it is a federal crime to grow or use or sell marijuana, they let the states do it because grown in the state, processed in the state, sold in the state, used in the state, never crosses state lines. Well, it strikes me that we ought to be able to do that with your stem cells. We ought to be able to harvest your stem cells here in the Seattle area, grow your stem cells in the Seattle area, give them right back to you here in the Seattle area, and tell the feds to take a hike. But there's no tax money in it.
They're not getting anything from it.
That's right. The state won't stand behind us because they're not getting a cut of the profits.
And the doctor will lose his license.
That's right. So we can't do it.
Sure.
Now, of interest. Okay, hang on. I'm almost done.
In
Miami, there was a study done at University of Miami in which they took elderly, frail people, men and women. They were getting to the point they could no longer stand up out of their chair. They couldn't walk, you know, further than across their living room. They're getting frail. They're sliding downhill. They're getting ready to die. They took their adipose stem cells, the fat stem cells. They grew them in the lab. They gave them back 120 million stem cells compared to the few they took out. And in 2 weeks, they tripled the amount of exercise these old people could do. Just giving them their own stem cells injected intravenously, let them function three times better than they did before they got their stem cells. So there is a good argument that we should be able to do this for folks. We just have to figure out a way that the politicians in Washington down in Olympia get a cut.
There you go. Yeah.
So, anyway, then, does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, sir. I had a. You talked about bone marrow versus the fat, and then the PRP. Is that for like a specific application, or is it convenience, or targeted, or?
Yeah. Well, two things, I guess. First of all, these are not embryonic stem cells. Okay. Embryonic stem cells that come from a developing baby, can become any tissue. These are partially differentiated stem cells. These are stem cells in your bone marrow that are designed to make hematologic structures. So there are certain things those will grow into better than other things. Fat stem cells have their own profile of things they will grow into efficiently. So to some degree, it's a matter of what you're using it for. Are you using it to try to grow cartilage? Are you trying to grow tendon? Are you trying to grow skin? Because we now have things that we can do for skin. And it's also, the bone marrow stem cells are easy to process. You only have to spin those down a couple of times. You can fractionate them and get them really easy. The bone marrow stem cells have been a multi-step process. And it took longer and was harder to get a good isolation of adipose tissue stem cells. So most doctors did not go through the multiple steps to use the adipose. But now that has been fixed. There are now commercial machines that do all those steps for you. And so you can use the adipose stem cells almost as easily as you can use the bone marrow stem cells. So that's good. Now, one other thing I want to warn you about. There's a lot of people saying, we are selling, we will put stem cells in you that are not your own. These are commercially derived stem cells, and they come to us frozen, and we just thaw them out and put them in, and we inject them into you. Those are not stem cells. Stem cells are fragile. If you freeze them, they die. So whatever they're selling you is either not stem cells, or they are dead stem cells. So the only way to get legitimate stem cells for you are right now legally in the United States is to use your own stem cells. And we can't increase the number, but we can redistribute them. We can take them from here and put them there. And I wish to God they would let us increase the numbers and give you the stem cell load you had as a young man, because you do a whole lot better with it. But, you know, I don't think the feds want... No, I just say, I'm not sure the feds want you to live longer because, you know, your Social Security is going to run out. So,
so for a meniscus deterioration, would you be using bone marrow or the...
I don't use either, okay? You're asking the wrong guy because, you know, I know the theory. I don't do it myself, okay? I know a lot. I know about a lot of stuff that I don't do. But when Dan is on next time, Dr. Nelson is on next time, you might ask him. Or, you know, we've got some orthopedic surgeons who use adipose tissues. Maybe we'll get one of them on. Because we got a lot of doctors as patients. It's, you know, it's really fun being in the clinic where the doctors come to get better.
Well, it seems like there's controversy as to this is old age, this is new age, or and maybe there's a lot of misinformation out there.
There's a lot, you know, Dr. Google is commits malpractice on a regular basis.
All the time. He is not your friend.
Right, well, thank you very much for all your information. I appreciate it. I'll let other people get their phone on.
Warren, great conversation.
Thank you for the call, sir. Bye-bye.
Good questions, too. Thank you for that. We are going to head to Tukwila. Ron is on the line. Hi, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning,
sir.
Can you? Okay, I wasn't sure you could hear me. Hey,
we can indeed.
Caller, first time listener.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
My neighbor told me the other day that Dr. Nixon uses ivermectin once a week. And
wrong.
I was curious as to why you would do that. Or
no, I don't use ivermectin. I've never used ivermectin. Okay. Now, back when COVID first came out,
we used to get a lot of questions about it.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions about it.
Okay.
When COVID first came out, there were some initial studies that showed that ivermectin was probably the only effective drug we had for COVID.
Yeah.
And so we used it on some patients in those early weeks. And then the studies came out and started poo-pooing that, so we stopped using it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting studies that apparently were suppressed during the pandemic that show that it probably did more good than we knew it did. But the pandemic's over. so we've never used it since those very early days.
Okay. I was curious, so I just wanted to ask what you knew about it.
Okay. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Ron. We're going to take a break in just a couple of minutes here. I want to give you the phone number to call 1-800-465-8770 to get your questions asked. We have room in our call queue for your questions for Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. That's 1-800-465-8770. Now, Dr. Umat, something very exciting is coming up in just a couple of weeks. In the month of May, which is Heart Month.
That's right.
And it's our Heart Health Day on Thursday, May 7th. Can you tell us
May
about
6th.
This?
Thursday, May 6th. Yeah. Thursday, May 6th, we are doing Heart Health at Longevity, all three locations. And basically, anybody who wants to know more about their heart health can do this test for $299. It involves not just telling you what your cholesterol numbers are, because that's easy. Any lab can do that. But this is done through Cleveland Heart Lab, which is a center of excellence for heart disease diagnosis, and it looks at markers telling us whether there's inflammation in the lining of the blood vessels, whether if you have a plaque, it's about to rupture or not, and whether you have damaged LDL particles, how many of them do you have, what are their sizes, and are they dangerous for you or not, along with apolipoprotein B, which is a carrier molecule, which tells us about congestion in the liver because it carries cholesterol molecules, and also your genetic risk factor for heart disease, which is lipoprotein particle A. So tons and tons and tons of new names and lots of information easily available. Yep. And then for Longevity Medical Clinics, Cleveland Heart Lab has customized this panel for us, and we have added an Omega check to that. And that is included in the $300, and it actually gives you the number value for omega-3 and omega-6s. Omega-3s being anti-inflammatory, and the 6s being pro-inflammatory. So you actually actually know how much do you have? Is it enough or not? And then that's, with that information, then you can either have our doctors take care of you or have a cardiologist manage your problems and issues and concerns.
Very good. Now, you do have to make an appointment for this. So this is happening at all three of our clinics.
Yeah.
So we want you to know that you do need to call us and give us a phone, give us your phone number, get an appointment made for this. It's not just a walk-in event,
right.
But
right.
It is happening in Kirkland, Linwood, and Tacoma.
On Thursday, May 9th,
okay.
From 9 to 3. You do need an appointment. Space is limited, and I'm hearing that Kirkland is almost fully booked out. But still,
okay.
Do give them a call. They will accommodate you. But you do need to fast. So you do need to come in fasting, because otherwise it'll affect your cholesterol, your LDL, and your triglycerides.
Nothing
number.
To eat for 6 hours.
Right.
Okay.
You can have water.
Yes, you can.
That's all.
And then also avoid alcohol the day before if you don't want your triglycerides to be too high. If you want them high, then, you know.
There you go.
Now, yeah. One thing, I heard three separate dates here.
May 9th. Yeah.
Yes,
May
we just clarified
May
that.
May 9th.
The 3rd,
yeah.
The 6th, I know. I just wanted to make a point of it.
Thursday,
so it
May
It is Thursday,
9th.
May 9th.
May 9th. Okay. You've got that ready
That's
to go.
Right. That's right. All three locations the same day. And then the other thing we should mention, Dr. Mixon, is that if you do decide to do the longevity panel, because that's where you will, you know, become our patient, that's $595. And then if you become a patient of ours, not only will you get 1.5 hours of doctor time, but your $299 will be used towards your longevity dues. So that test then becomes free for you.
Very good.
Sounds good.
The number to call to make your appointment for that Heart Health Day in all three of our clinics Thursday, May 9th is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website and get details at lmclinic.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And before we get to our next caller, I want you to know the show is brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we are still offering you that opportunity to come in for that free health analysis appointment. And what that is a simple couple of tests, a blood test and an in-body test. And what that will do is let the doctors know what you're at risk for. Things like diabetes, sexual dysfunction, dementia, cancers, heart disease, and so much more. Because we want you to stay alive and live a healthier life. To be stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, and sexier. I like that background music for
yes.
Talking about staying
stronger,
alive.
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter,
sexier,
and happier.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you are stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier, you're most
you're
going to
be happier. Absolutely.
And you might make your spouse happier, too.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Bring them along. It's a free health analysis appointment. We just need a little history, what life has done to you. So far, that's what Dr. Mixon says. And then we'll do the blood test and the embody test. Then you too will have an opportunity to do a larger blood panel to get even more information on hormones and your thyroid and also, 70 pages of information and an hour of time with the doctor to explain to you what this is. We call it a free health analysis appointment. We want you to come in and find out more. Here's the number to call, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Okay. Headed to Des Moines right now with Don on the line. Hi, Don.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank
yes.
you, sir. How can we help?
Approximately 11 months ago, I had three massive tears, rotator cuff, and I had surgery through Dr. Nelson's group. Dr. Nelson referred me to Dr. Koo, the surgeon there for First or Pro Alliance.
Okay.
And the outcome was vastly better than I anticipated, vastly better what the surgeon anticipated. And I attribute it to because my doctor, Dr. Jimenez, and you, Dr. Mix, on the radio, recommended applying testosterone cream to my shoulder, Vanessa-Cell, and PRP. So not even a year later, I have full range of motion. I will recover completely. My question is, approximately 3 months ago, I started running again, and I developed, for the first time in my life, a sore knee. I'm reticent to go to my primary care physician because they'll refer me to another round of physical therapy. And 3 months later, maybe I'll get to a orthopedic surgeon. Is there any preliminary steps that I could use maybe to possibly eliminate one possibility?
Yes. Well, like first of all,
for example.
That's exactly where I'm going. You know, the testosterone, fascinating. We know for sure that testosterone increases your own stem cells in your bone marrow, which is really kind of neat because when my patients go to Dan and he takes out bone marrow, they have more and healthier stem cells than other people. So testosterone is a hormone that triggers the growth of deep tissues, muscle, ligament, tendon, grow better with robust testosterone loads. So we do one of two or a couple of things for your testosterone. I talk to Dr. Jimenez and have her carry your level at the upper edge of a healthy young man. You know, a free testosterone for normal goes up as high as 210, and we are usually looking 150 to 180 sort of range. We don't usually push that envelope. But when we're trying to heal an injury, then pushing it up towards the top of that envelope is probably a better idea because you're just getting more stimulation of growing those deep tissues and the muscle, ligament, tendon. Also, when you apply testosterone to a local body part, you're absorbing the cream right into that area, and you actually get higher levels, not just in your blood, but in that tissue. So I would raise your daily cream dose a bit. Again, I don't know where your levels are. I don't have your lab reports here at the radio show. But have Dr. Jimenez raise your level to the upper edge of the healthy young man and then probably apply a little extra right to that knee. And then talk to Dr. Nelson about just perhaps using stem cells. Or not stem cells, PRP. PRP.
Yeah.
Because PRP, interestingly, is covered by insurance. Stem cells are not. But if you've got an inflammatory process in there from strains or minor tears, you may not need the stem cells. Because, you know, that runs up around $7,000 a pop. But the PRP is usually covered by insurance. And it has a very potent anti-inflammatory effect in the joint.
And I continue to take senescent cell. I'm assuming that contributes to the healing process as well.
Oh, yes. Yep, it does. You know, we want to decrease your senescent cell load and keep it low. The other thing, of course, is rapamycin you may want to use.
What is that?
What? You're in our clinic and you haven't heard about rapamycin?
John!
No.
I'm going to have to talk to Dr. Jimenez for you.
That's right.
Well, Dr. Mitch, you'll appreciate this. I am a product of a governmental educational system. Therefore, I'm illiterate and can't count.
Yeah, but Dr. Jimenez is not. So, she is one of my really smart people. So,
I know. I know. Yeah. She kicks my ass all the time.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know how tall,
she's a tiny
little thing. I mean, God.
I know, but.
I know, she's 4 foot 10 or 4 foot 11 or something.
We need to get a booster for her in the studio.
I know, well, she really does. She's
a loser.
Little tiny thing, but damn, she's got a great brain on her.
Mm.
Rapamycin is the only drug that we now have in our pharmacologic armamentarium that has increased the lifespan and the health span of every animal we've ever tried it on. I mean, from worms to mice, to rats, to monkeys, to dogs, and now humans. It's the only compound we know of that actually has been documented to increase lifespan and health span by up to 15% in every animal. So we are using it in a fair number of our older patients. And Dr. Mixon is using it every week. In fact, it occurred to me when that previous caller called and said, you know, I heard you were using the ivermectin every week. They probably misunderstood.
Yeah.
Because I've never used ivermectin, but I do use rapamycin every week.
Yes.
And so that may have been what they were talking about. But yeah, rapamycin, it's got some modest downsides. So, you know, you need to talk to Dr. Jimenez about it and see if you're a candidate. But it does really good effects. For one thing, it helps our older men pee a lot better. It seems to decrease that swelling in the prostate and improve urine flow. We know that in the national data, it helps to decrease inflammation. It increases muscle strength and endurance. You know, in the animal studies, we know it improves cardiac function, ejection fraction. The amount of blood your heart is able to pump with each beat increases in the dog studies, at least. We have not yet seen a human study to evaluate that. But, I mean, it does a lot of really neat stuff, and that's part of why I take it every week.
Is that available through Longevity?
It is indeed. We've got hundreds of patients on it.
Perfect. I'll call Dr. Jimenez Monday.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Don, for the questions.
You're welcome, sir. Bye-bye.
And we're glad you're healing up. Hey, we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine, and we still have room for your calls and your questions at 1-800-465-8770. I'm Lynette. I'll be back with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon in just a moment. And Garrett, we're going to talk with you in just a moment as well. Thank you for listening. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-foot chorus line.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. Hope you're enjoying some sunshine, whether you got out and got a walk already today, or maybe you've got that planned for later. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Enjoy some of that sunshine and springtime weather. We're going to head over to White Center where, they've got some beautiful apple blossoms going on. Garrett is on the phone. Good morning, Garrett. How can we help?
Good morning. Hey. I'm calling this morning because I'm wondering what the doctors think about bioflavonoid supplements for use as senolytics to improve longevity.
Well, the bioflavonoid supplements as a class are potent anti-inflammatories, and they decrease the production of new senescent cells. So generally, we like them in a lot of ways.
Is there something specific that you have in mind?
Yeah, and which of the flavonoids are you thinking about?
Yeah, specifically, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but fisetin or fisetin?
Oh, fisetin.
Fisetin. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, fisetin is indeed as good, probably, as quercetin at decreasing senescent cell formation. We tend to use quercetin instead of fisetin because that's what the Mayo Clinic used in their anti-senescent cell therapies. So we're just kind of imitating Mayo Clinic. But from a theoretical standpoint, using fisetin along with the dasatinib is probably just as effective, but we just don't have studies to show that the combination is as good in humans.
Now, would they have to take fisetin all the time then? Because I know that for quercetin...
We use quercetin on a daily basis. You know, we just use a higher dose when we do the dasatinib.
Right.
Because, once more, the higher dose was used with the Mayo studies. But yeah, fisetin is one of those polyphenols that you can use on a regular basis. It's a potent anti-inflammatory. It's a good antioxidant. It decreases the formation of senescent cells. And so all the way around, it's a net benefit.
Is there something specific that you were hoping for this to home in on, or is it just generalized overall wellness?
Well, I was reading that if you take these polyphenols earlier on in life, that you can improve longevity as you age.
Well, and that is the theory. What we don't have are longitudinal studies that show that polyphenol use actually increases longevity or health span.
Mm.
To do that, you've basically got to give it to people, you know, one group of people for 30, 40 years, and then follow a separate group that are not getting it for 30, 40 years, and see if there's a statistically significant difference in how long they live.
Mm.
So if you start people on it in their 30s and 40s, and in their 80s and 90s, you can now look and see if there's a difference in their lifespan. What most of these projections, and these are educated guesstimates, they aren't real studies, we look at markers that we normally correlate with lifespan, such as cholesterol levels, inflammatory markers in your bloodstream, immune markers, a number of CD4, CD8 cells in your immune system. These sorts of markers we can measure in a matter of a year or two of use of it, and then say, okay, people who lived a long time tended to have these markers. People who didn't live so long tend to have those markers. And so because we are seeing a different set of markers, we assume, we postulate that these people will have longer, healthier lives. Mm. But to prove it, you've actually got to follow the people. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, sir. But listen, as a general principle, quercetin,
Yeah. Fisetin,
all of the polyphenols are healthy things to have in your foods. And if you want to supplement with them, that's just fine, too.
Right.
They're going to do you no harm, and they may help you to live a longer, healthier life.
Hmm.
Emphasis on the word may.
Hmm.
So that's all about all I can say. Right.
I hope that's helpful, Garrett. Thank you so much for your call. Let's see. I think we have one more question here. It's off the air. Bob from Quincy had a question for the doctors about MTHFR, the diagnosis and the misdiagnosis. And for those of us who don't know those alphabet letters, what is MTHFR?
Methyl tetrahydrofolate, basically. So
okay.
It's a methylation process.
Hey, now, wait. You love big words. So
I do.
I want you to learn to say this fast five times. Right?
Okay.
Methyl tetrahydrofolate.
Tetrahydrofolate. And reductase is the enzyme. So they're basically looking to see, well, is the methylation processes stalled in the patient? Are they too active? Are they blocked? You know, what is going on in this pathway, which is a normal pathway for a lot of people? Now, sometimes some people have what we call SNPs or single nucleotide polymorphisms, which is basically an abnormal version of a normal pathway. And in that enzymatic pathway, the process is slowed down. So say, for example, you're looking for a marker like homocysteine. And homocysteine is a marker, a blood marker for high, for vascular inflammation. And if that value is high, then it could mean that some of these methylation processes are blocked for you. And therefore, we overcome that by giving you higher doses of methylated vitamin B12 supplementation rather than relying on your own body to do the conversion for you.
Methylated vitamin B12 as well as folic.
Yes,
folic
as well as
acid.
Because yeah,
folic acid is the blocker usually.
That's
yeah, and it's interesting because we have traditionally said these are abnormal SNPs. But up to 30% of the population has at least one strand of their DNA that has that SNP.
Mm-hmm.
And if both strands have it, they are very difficult to methylate, and they don't get the benefit from the B vitamins they ought to get.
Right.
So at least one third of the American population has slower methylation, less efficient methylation. So the question is, since we know about one person in three is going to have this inhibited to some degree, should we be using a methylated vitamin B formulation instead of the standard vitamin B formulations for everybody, rather than run the genetic screens on everybody? Now, if you run your 23andMe or one of the other genome studies, you will see if you have this SNP or not.
Right. We do the MyDNA Age in our office.
Right. MyDNA Age gives us this,
right,
this SNP on all of our people that run it.
Correct.
But for people that are not our patients, people that are just, you know, don't have doctors that are even running these SNPs, then they might want to use a methylated formulation for their B vitamins anyway.
I mean, there's no harm in doing that.
It costs a little extra money because the methylated forms are a little pricier, but they can drop your homocysteine.
Yeah.
If you're in that one person in three that has poor methylation, your homocysteine is probably going to run high. And if your homocysteine is high, you're higher risk of both dementia and heart attacks. So, you know, we want to get that homocysteine under 8. And I see a lot of Americans out there with homocysteines of 10, 12, 14, 16. Mm. So high homocysteines. And for the guys, high homocysteine blocks nitric oxide production, which it gives them erectile dysfunction.
Mm.
So if you're not methylating your B vitamins well, you may run a higher homocysteine, and the high homocysteine won't let you make enough nitric oxide, and the low nitric oxide won't let you make love. Mm. So this B vitamin methylation is an important factor.
And then if, you know, you're wondering, am I getting too much? Do I really need this much? Well, your doctors can do a simple vitamin B12 level on you to know. Mm-hmm. That's easy. Now, we can offer our patients a much expanded view, which we do the micronutrient test. So we check many different things. But if you're just focused on that one, you can check that one.
Right. But a simple thing is to have your doctor check your folic acid.
Yeah.
If your folic acid is high, that's bad. And one of the reasons, one of the most common reasons for high folic acid or high homocysteine is poor methylation of your B vitamins. And so that might be your clue.
All right. Well, hopefully we had Bob listening for that and got that information on the, let's see if I can say it, methyl tetrahydrofolate.
Yes.
Yes. I love those big words. I like big words, and I cannot lie. Okay. Very good. No more call. Whoops. We have, okay, no more callers at this point. Show is almost over in 1 minute.
Oops.
So let's talk again about the Heart Health Day that's coming up Thursday, May 9th.
That's right. On Thursday, May 9th, all clinic locations, Linwood, Tacoma, as well as Kirkland, to do an expanded blood test for your cardiac health for $299. And then if you do the longevity panel and become a longevity patient, this then becomes a free test for you. The purpose of the panel is to learn more useful information about your cholesterol and whether it is harmful for you or not, for genetic factors as well inflammation factors, to know whether that cholesterol is actually going to rupture and cause a problem for you. So high cholesterol is useless and meaningless unless you know the other parameters, and those other parameters will help guide treatment and could save your life.
All right. So May is Heart Health Month, and we are wanting to focus on your heart. So if you need to make an appointment, and you do need to make an appointment at one of the three clinics, this isn't a walk-in. It is a test. We need to make sure we have enough phlebotomists there to take the blood and help do this test. Again, the date, Thursday, May 9th, for your heart. And here is the number to call to make that appointment at 866. 86 Young. That's 866-86 Young. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com, for more information. We're going to take a break for about a week. And we will be back with you next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being part of the show. We'll see you next time right here.